To shop, and you can help Catholic Radio at the same time. The website can be found at AveMariaRadio.net.
This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Tuesday, September 29th, 2015. It's good to be with you on a Tuesday morning. And so much to talk about. It is a beautiful feast day today. And boy, I love moving into the month of October because there's just so many amazing saints that we celebrate in the month of October. But today we are marking the feast day of the archangels, St. Michael, St. Gabriel, and St. Raphael. Pray for us. And Dan Burke has a great summary on the Avila Institute Spiritual Direction website. If you sign up for his newsletter, there's a really cool summary about the archangels and prayers, actually, to the archangels. Most of us, of course, are familiar with the prayer to St. Michael, the archangel, but there are also beautiful prayers to St. Gabriel and St. Raphael, so you can check that out at spiritualdirection.com. All right, coming up on the program today, in addition to you, and we hope that you call in or email with questions, we're going to be chatting more about the historic visits of Pope Francis to the United States with a young man, a very dynamic writer, John Paul Schimmick, who is soon going to be based in Rome, and he writes for CatholicVote.org, and he's been writing, actually, for a number of different entities, including our very own National Catholic Register, along with Catholic World Report and Catholic Vote. And he's also actually been traveling along with the Pope and a Swiss Guard protecting the Pope. And, of course, he has a lot of information, inside information, regarding various folks who are responsible for planning and implementing the historic visit. So we will get John Paul's take on how he thought things went, what he walked away with after the Holy Father's visit to Washington, New York, and Philadelphia. And then we'll wrap up a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection, catching up with my friend Lewis Brown from the Catholic Medical Foundation, CMF Curo. We were supposed to talk on Friday, but, of course, if you recall, things changed because the Secret Service came in on Thursday and said, we're going to shut this place down. And they shut down the exhibit center where we had our booth. Both Greg Popchick and Dr. Lisa Popchick, or Dr. Greg Popchick and Lisa, had a booth there doing their show. And EWTN had a booth there, right, doing our radio shows. And everybody was out. So for whatever reason, I don't know why Secret Service came in so early. They weren't supposed to shut things down, actually, until Friday afternoon. And all that changed Thursday. And it was just craziness. So I had to cancel the show on Friday, and Lewis was one of the guests, and he was at the World Meeting of Families to talk about the issue of health care, and he will join us live at 39 minutes past the hour, plus you, of course. And so I hope you do stay tuned for the entire program. Lots of news to get through, actually, some big announcements regarding the next World Meeting of Families, as well as World Youth Day. So let's get to that right now, which will give us more time for our guests. It's a Tuesday morning. It's September 29th, and you're listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Well, the president of the Pontifical Council for Families, Archbishop Vincenzo Paglia, announcing that the next World Meeting of Families will be held in 2018 and in Dublin, Ireland. He made the announcement Sunday, wrapping up in Philadelphia, at the end of the concluding Holy Mass of the World Meeting of Families 2015. The World Meeting of Families is an event that takes place every 3 years. It was started by St. John Paul II back in 1994 with the aim of celebrating the Church's role in building the family. The Dublin meeting will be the ninth World Meeting of Families to take place. Meanwhile, the Holy Father has his message for the 31st World Youth Day. It was released yesterday, focusing on the theme from the Beatitudes. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The next meeting of young people from across the globe will take place in the Polish city of Krakow in July of 2016. In the message, the Holy Father noting the forthcoming World Youth Day takes place in the context of the Jubilee Year of Mercy. For that reason, he says, it's providential the gatherings will take place in the city associated with both St. John Paul II and St. Faustina, two great apostles of mercy of our time. In other news this morning, the head of Planned Parenthood on the hot seat in Congress today, Cecile Richards, testifying about her organization's profiting of the body parts of aborted babies, A series, of course, of undercover videos raised awareness about the practice, prompting Republican efforts to strip government funding from the nation's largest abortion provider. The Senate moving to avert a government shutdown this week. Senators approving a key procedural vote moving forward with a bill funding the government through December 11th.
On this vote, the yeas are 77, the nays are 19. The motion is agreed to.
The government runs out of money late Wednesday without congressional action to extend funding. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell proposing the temporary extension after Democrats blocked Republican efforts to strip government funding from Planned Parenthood. Some Republicans have proposed letting the government shut down a dispute over Planned Parenthood. House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy wants to change the culture of the House of Representatives if he's elected Speaker. The California Republican speaking about running for Speaker of the House on Fox News yesterday.
The Speaker sets the culture, and the culture in Washington has to change. You know, we've been governing by crisis, and there's too many people in Washington who care about power institutions and don't care about making a difference in the lives of the average American.
McCarthy says he knows it won't be easy to change the culture in the House, but he calls it his mission. McCarthy hoping that as things begin to change, people have a renewed confidence in their representatives. While outgoing Speaker John Boehner butted heads with more conservative Republicans in the House, McCarthy says he welcomes anyone who wants to help change. Boehner shocked the House last week when he announced plans to resign at the end of October. He acknowledged that McCarthy would make an excellent Speaker. Russian President Vladimir Putin is defending his decision to provide help to Syria's military in its fight against ISIS. He spoke through an interpreter in an address to the UN General Assembly.
No one but President Assad's armed forces and Kurds' militia are truly fighting the Islamic State and other terrorist organizations in Syria.
Over the weekend, Iraq announcing an agreement in which Iraq, Russia, Iran, and Syria would share intelligence to counter the terrorist group. In his address at the UN, Putin remarking he believes it's a mistake to refuse to cooperate with the Syrian government. Earlier, the president calling Syria's president a dictator who slaughtered tens of thousands of his own people. Obama saying the U.S. would work with any country to fight ISIS, but not if the goal is to return Syria to the status quo. The woman who helped two convicted killers escape from a New York prison will now be spending at least 2 years behind bars. Judge Kevin Ryan announcing Joyce Mitchell's sentence yesterday morning in upstate New York.
From your conviction for promoting prison contraband in the first degree, you are sentenced to an indeterminate period of incarceration of 2 1/3 years to 7 years.
Last June, Mitchell provided tools to help inmates Richard Matt and David Sweat break out of the Clinton Correctional Facility. Mitchell had pleaded guilty to promoting prison contraband and a charge of criminal facilitation. After a 3-week manhunt, Matt was shot and killed and Sweat was captured. Mitchell had said she only helped the inmates because she thought they'd hurt her family. The judge told her he didn't find that explanation credible. Mitchell cried throughout more of the sentencing hearing, saying at one point, "If I could take it all back, I would." New Jersey Governor Chris Christie will make what his campaign is calling a special announcement this morning. The governor has been lagging behind in polls, despite pledging to tell it like it is. The announcement is set to take place in downtown Des Moines, just blocks from the state capitol. Opponents of California's controversial new vaccine law are trying to get it overturned. A volunteer group filed petitions looking to put the matter to a referendum on the November 2016 ballot. Opponents needed 365,000 signatures of registered voters to qualify for a referendum, though it's unclear how many signatures were turned in by today's deadline. California lawmakers recently approved a law that requires all public school children to be vaccinated and eliminates the personal belief and religious exemptions that parents used to have to avoid the vaccination requirements. A robot invented at the University of San Diego is giving researchers some insight into why babies smile.
After the baby smiles, the mom will smile for a long time. And usually the baby stops smiling shortly after the mom starts. So babies are trying to maximize the amount of mom smiling they get for the amount of smiling that they do.
That's Dr. Daniel Messenger, who said babies don't appear to be after any other reward other than getting adults to smile at them. A robotic baby was programmed to mimic baby smiling patterns to confirm researchers' findings, which concluded infants have sophisticated timing to encourage smiles. Dr. Messenger said this information could help understand interactions of nonverbal adults or to detect signs of autism earlier in infants. And finally, in our news segment at 9:09, 9 Eastern Time, and of course 6:09 on the West Coast, and 8:09 Central Time. Mourners are gathering today for the private funeral of Yankees legend Yogi Berra. The funeral service this morning at the Church of the Immaculate Conception in Montclair, New Jersey, where Berra raised his family, will be broadcast on the Yankees Yes Network and nationally on Fox Sports One. Berra died last week at age 90. Fans will get to pay their respects at a public memorial this Sunday at the Yogi Berra Museum in Little Falls, New Jersey. And Governor Chris Christie ordering all flags on all state buildings to fly at half staff today in his honor. It is 10 minutes past the hour. You're listening, of course, to Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. More discussion, unpacking, as we continue to do so, the Holy Father's historic visit to the United States of America. What are your thoughts? 877-573-7825. We have a Catholic writer on board. He writes for the Register, Catholic World Report, and under other wonderful news outlets. He'll be joining us up next. Stay tuned.
WeatherGuard has been protecting Michigan homes for nearly three decades. But what about the earth, our common home? With the latest innovations in windows and insulation, WeatherGuard is dedicated to products that last well beyond the low standards set by our throwaway culture and are carefully engineered to cut energy costs and reduce the impact we have on our common home. Visit WeatherGuard.com to get a free estimate and learn how you can do your part to reduce energy consumption. We're WeatherGuard, and we're here to protect your home.
Come and treat yourself and your friends to an exciting evening with Father Leo Pedalinghug at St. Edith Parish in Livonia on October 10th. Father Leo is the author and TV host of Grace Before Meals, but Father Leo's claim to fame happened by winning on the TV series Throwdown with Bobby Flay. Father Leo will cook up his famous penne alla vodka as he shares the importance of savoring the faith with your family. Call the Register today at 734-464-1222. That's 734-464-1222.
Tired of expensive and immoral health insurance? CMF Curo is the first of its kind Catholic healthcare sharing experience. It's affordable, Christ-centered healthcare and is faithful to church teachings. It provides access to medical care that protects your religious liberty and respects the gospel of life. Live your faith, choose life, and join CMF Curo today. CMF Curo empowers families to experience Christ in their healthcare. Alleluia. That's CMFCURO.com.
This Ave Maria radio program is underwritten in part by Visiting Angels. Many people are wondering how they can care for older family members who cannot fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels provides compassionate home visits even up to 24 hours per day, and you may select your caregiver. Visiting Angels assist adults nationwide to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide help in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Visiting Angels is online at visitingangels.com. Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care.
Welcome back. It's Catholic Connection. It's a Tuesday morning. I think we'll be unpacking the visit of the Holy Father for months and even years. And if you have the opportunity, I did do a newsletter. I wrote a blog regarding the Holy Father's talk and what touched me. And I also put links to all of his addresses and homilies in that newsletter, that e-blast that I sent out. You can find it on teresatomeo.com under my blog. But, again, we direct you to National Catholic Register and other great sources who were actually printing the body of the statements and the addresses that the Holy Father made. Because it's really good to go back and reflect on what he said, because if you weren't able to sit and watch everything, which not all of us can do that, right? I mean, I tried to watch as much as I could when I got home from Philly over the weekend, but it's good to be able to go over the different addresses and the homilies and just to really just pray and ask God to open your heart as to what the Holy Father may be saying to each of us individually, as well as the entire one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. So John Paul Schimmick, good to talk to you again. Of course, you've been writing for Catholic World Report, National Catholic Register, and Catholic Vote on the Holy Father's visit. Now, where are you now?
Good morning, Teresa. Good to be with you. At the moment, I'm in the United States, but I will be heading to Rome within the next few days, as a matter of fact.
Oh, you poor thing. I feel so sorry for you. So what was it like for you? You were doing a lot of writing. You in your email to us, you said that you were very close to the Swiss Guard protecting the Pope, and you were able to chat with some of the people responsible for planning and implementing the visit. What was that like for you?
You know, it was wonderful to see the outpouring of love for our Holy Father as he came among us as Chief Shepherd. But also what fascinated me was how he fell in love with the American people as well. I think there was a sort of mutual bonding that I think, as you said in your introduction, will continue to unfold as the months and years grow long.
What did you think of the press conference on the way home? He said some pretty strong statements about marriage, also about the divorce and remarried, and the women priests came up again. Of course, he said, sorry, that door is closed, but women have a huge role in the church, and they're even more important than the bishops and the priests. And this is something very similar to what he said regarding the male priesthood a few years ago on the way back from World Youth Day.
That's right. I think, for those who see him as the Holy Father, as the head of the Universal Catholic Church, there wasn't anything deeply problematic or surprising in his remarks. He was speaking as the Pope, as one who guards a 2,000-year-old Catholic moral and faith tradition. He was saying precisely the sort of things that many have been expecting to hear from him for some time. So I think in his remarks on the various topics you enumerated, we saw him speaking as he did, for example, before Congress, as he did at the UN, as he did on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway, in the voice and in the memory of his predecessors, Paul VI, St. John Paul II, and Pope Benedict XVI, reminding us of the importance of religious liberty, of the right to conscience, of the role of the family rooted in traditional marriage at the service of the common good and the integral development of the human person, and signaling in a very bold way that his intention for the Synod is not for it to depart from Orthodox teaching on marriage and the family, but rather to carry that forward in dialogue with the contemporary world.
Now, you said in your email to us that on the plane, Father Federico Lombardi, of course, the head of the Holy See Press Office, telling journalists that the pontificate is now entering a new phase. What do you think he meant by that?
That's right. That's a very interesting and curious comment that he made. One of the things that became clear to me as I watched the Pope's visit unfold is that he was beginning to tie together many of the themes on which he has been speaking now since the night of his election. And so I think we're beginning to see a more systematic approach come together and congeal. And I think we're beginning to get a better sense of who this Pope is. Certainly that was one of the purposes of the visit for the local flock in the United States and those who came for the World Meeting of Families to get to know the Chief Shepherd better. One of the aspects of this, I think, this getting to know him better, is that we're beginning to see how the different themes fit together. So when he talks, for example, on ecology, he's not just talking about global warming or weather patterns or the problem of pollution, but he's bringing forward a vision of creation at the service of marriage and the family and the respect for the rights of the vulnerable. So he's marrying together themes that maybe in the past were disconnected or weren't spoken of together. So again, the better articulation, I think, is part of that. Also, one of the things that Father Federico Lombardi made clear was that now the Pope will take on more issues that have a greater global or universal dimension to them. Certainly, that seems to be the case as we gear up now for the Synod. I think not only of the United States and North America, but Europe and many other parts, for example, Africa, that are experiencing what the Pope has called a sort of ideological colonization.
Mm-hmm. Which he mentioned a few times in some of his addresses as well. He used that term.
That's
again.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So I think we're getting a better sense of him. He's beginning to speak more clearly on these issues. That, I think, is all part of this new phase.
If you're just joining us on Catholic Connection on a Tuesday morning, September 29th, we're chatting with Catholic writer John Paul Shimmick, who's in running for the Register, Catholic World Report, and, of course, Catholic Vote. Going into the Synod, though, are you hoping or at least hearing some messaging that it's going to be more controlled? Because last year it was very confusing and it seemed out of control in terms of the way things went and how things were distributed to the media over the heads of many of the leaders of the Synod.
Well, one of the things that harkens back, one of the things that comes out in my memory for me is how the Holy Father asked us to travel the whole road of the Synod. And we're still traveling this road, and until the Synod next month concludes, we will be traveling that road. So I think it's important to view the last Synod in light of the entirety of this path. And certainly his messaging on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway at the World Meeting of Families, but also things he said, for example, at the White House about religious liberty, and also what he said on the airplane returning to Rome, I think are all pointing toward a clear teaching on marriage and family, certainly in line with his predecessors, but also a message that he wants to bring into dialogue with the world. If I can make a sort of simplistic distinction, but maybe in the simplicity there's some truth to it. With Benedict, I think what we saw was a Holy Father intent on seeing the place of encounter in the interior of the church, and especially in the Eucharistic assembly, and that is a wonderful thing. With Francis, it's a little bit different, not that it disbands with the former model. I think the two models are complementary. With Francis, I think we're seeing the place of encounter at the boundary of the church in the center of the world. In other words, he is trying to take this encounter that we've had in the interior life of the church, in the communio, the Eucharistic liturgy of the church, now in a missionary mode out into the world to draw and to attract all others into the interior life of the church. So I think there's a complementary model which makes sense of why there was a sort of free-flowing, free-form discussion now that leads to a clearer articulation. So that first we gain the hearing of the world, and in gaining the hearing of the world, we build what the Pope has called a culture of encounter. Mm-hmm. And in that space of friendship, then it becomes possible to impart what the secular world would see as a hard message. If we come first imparting a hard message, then there can be the risk of tuning others out to a message that they very much need to hear.
So how does that compare, though, to John Paul II and Benedict? Because they were extremely clear. And I don't know if it's a hard message. Maybe it's a hard message for the world, but it's truth.
Right.
So how do you compare that? Because certainly Benedict and John Paul II were just incredible teachers and scholars,
yes.
And especially Benedict,
yes.
Such a theologian.
Yes. You know, I think whenever we talk about the Pope, it's important to remember we're talking about an ordained priest and bishop. And in the Church's theology of priest and bishop, we talk about the triple or threefold munera or function of Christ, of priest, prophet
and
king.
Prophet and king, right.
Right. And I think as individual persons who have stepped into the shoes of the fishermen have lived out their patrine ministry, at times maybe they emphasized one of those roles over the other, not to contradict the other, but had a unique way of living out one versus the other. Maybe it could be said that with John Paul II we saw a priest, the world's parish priest, awakening, especially my generation, to the desire for an encounter with God in the heart of the church. With Benedict, I think we saw someone who was kingly, especially in his beautiful approach to the liturgy, to art, to calling the kingdom or realm of Europe back to the Christian faith. With Francis, I think we see someone who is prophet, who is transcending political boundaries, who is broadening the vision of the world, or awakening it, if you will, to a renewed vision of the human person, of human society, that has a great interest in the common good, what he called the integral development of the human person. And I think we saw this, for example, when Francis spoke before Congress and the UN. He didn't speak there in explicitly Christian theological terms. He wasn't doing a kind of biblical apologetics. What he was doing, I think, is speaking as a Christian humanist, speaking in the mode of a Christian political philosopher, seeking a dialogue with the world that widened its vision of the human person, of human family, called us again to a desire to work together for the common good and the integral development of the human person. I think all of these different approaches of the previous popes are all needed in our world, and they complement one another so beautifully, and they come to us seemingly at just the time that we need them.
I was talking with, I'm sure you're familiar with, Father John Ricardo from Our Lady of Good Counsel Parish in Michigan, and also Ave Maria,
yes.
Radio and EWTN, and he was saying that he really believes there's a definite, as do other teachers in the church, there's a strategy here on the part of Francis in terms of reaching out, as you said, to bring others in, because we are living in such a post-Christian, secularized world right now.
Yes, that's right. That's right. You know, it's so troubling to see the demise of the family, especially as it's under attack, the marginalization of religious liberty. And so, therefore, I think it's so helpful to hear from this Pope the articulation of religious liberty rooted in the right of the conscience, for him to be speaking about issues that matter to the world, like ecology, but always in the context, always tied to
the culture of
theology.
Life. Right.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Precisely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he, as a Jesuit, is a person who has an intuition into the human heart and knows how to speak to us in the way that our world is most capable of hearing him.
Well, let's take a quick break. We have about 45 seconds left till we break. I want to open the phone lines again, though. The phone number is 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. If you have a question for John Paul Shimmick, who's a Catholic writer writing for the Register, Catholic World Report, Catholic Vote, and others, covering, of course, a papal visit. Also heading over to Rome as we move into the Synod, which starts on Sunday, and it goes for just about 3 weeks. And so that's something that we'll be covering very intently, of course, and bringing you the latest information from a variety of sources and folks there, including John Paul. 877-573-7825. And John Paul, where's the best place before we break to find you and your work?
Readers and listeners can find me at pilgrimjournalist.com.
All right, pilgrimjournalist.com. And you're actually moving to Rome? Is this?
I am, yes.
Oh. Okay, well, I'm not going to be envious. I'm not. God bless you. That's great, but I am going to come visit you, God willing, next year when I'm
Wonderful.
There. All right. John Paul Shimmick, hang on. We'll take some calls, and we'll talk more about the Pope's visit and, of course, the upcoming Synod, which begins this Sunday. 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. We'll be right back. You're listening to EWTN on a Tuesday.
What makes Advanced Dentistry Center unique? While all dentists preach comfort, Dr. Mahdi uses laser technology with many of his patients. The laser's precise work allows for faster healing on periodontal pockets and root canals while diminishing the risk for bacteria to linger, giving you and your family the results you want. Here's Dr. Mahdi.
Using laser for treating gum disease will reduce your chance of needing further treatment, like advanced gum surgeries, and also will increase your chance of saving your teeth for the rest of your life.
And Advanced Dentistry Center is one of the few places in the state that has it. Laser can also fix most cavities without a local anesthetic or shot. Learn about their services and get testimonials at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Located at 13 Mile and Telegraph. That's AdvancedDentistryCenter.com. Or call 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. Advanced Dentistry Center is a general practice who provides the most up-to-date treatments to help you look and feel your best.
You can learn a lot about a university when you see what stands at its center. At the heart of Franciscan University of Steubenville stands Christ the King Chapel, a visible sign that Jesus is Lord over our spiritual life, campus community, athletics, and our academic community, where professors help students develop a passion for knowledge and truth. Discover a university that's academically excellent and passionately Catholic. Discover Franciscan University of Steubenville at franciscan.edu.
Join Ave Maria Radio's own Teresa Tamio at Michigan's newest basilica, the Shrine of the Little Flower, to celebrate the life of St. Therese of the Child Jesus. They'll also honor the recipients of the 2015 Little Way Award on Wednesday evening, September 30th. For more information, contact the National Shrine of the Little Flower Basilica at shrinechurch.com. That's shrinechurch.com or call 248-541-4122.
Minutes past the hour. It is a Tuesday morning. It's September 29, 2015. Many of you have questions or comments on the Pope's visit, and especially as we move now into the Synod of Bishops, which begins on Sunday. And EWTN will be there, as will the National Catholic Register, and as will John Paul Shimmick, who writes for the Register, Catholic World Report, and others. He's also a theologian. Let's go to the phone. Some of you have some questions. Deborah from Denver, thanks for calling. What's your question for John Paul this morning?
Good morning.
Hi, Deborah. Good morning.
I was wondering, in the Pope's address to Congress, why he didn't take more of an opportunity or go more down the road about that our country was founded on Christianity, that it was founded by Christians, and why he didn't take more, and I realize you addressed this a little bit, but why it wasn't more of a call to Christianity more specifically, rather than a call, you know what I mean? It just didn't seem more like a priest was up there It seemed more like a public speaker was up there.
Okay. John Paul, any comments?
Sure. I think one of the things that is helpful to keep in mind is that he wasn't doing anything that radically departed from the mode and method of previous speakers in similar capacities. I know that when both John Paul II and Benedict XVI, for example, addressed the United Nations, that they spoke in a very similar register and key. I think another thing worth bearing in mind is that Pope Francis was speaking in a way that was similar to a Christian political philosopher. One thing that is in his biography that I think helps to explain his strategy or his pastoral approach is that he was a teacher of literature who thinks in novel form. And by novel, I don't mean new, but in terms of a narrative. And so it's helpful then not to try to take one speech or address and disconnect it from the others that he made. When he spoke at the White House, he spoke very clearly on religious liberty. When he addressed the bishops, religious women and men, he spoke very clearly about their service to the church. I think it's important to bear all of these addresses and themes in mind and to see one speech as connected to the others. So again, he spoke as a Christian political philosopher. He spoke in a way that was similar to his predecessors. And then also I think he prepared his hearers at Congress to hear other messages that he would impart in the context of the week as it unfolded, where he did speak very, very clearly about the gospel of Jesus Christ, marriage and family in the tradition and theology of the church, and so forth. So I think maybe those help to explain what happened there.
Does that help, Deborah?
So perhaps it was more of a precursor of the message to come, because certainly for me, I was thinking if he went in guns blazing, you know, turn to Jesus, I think I agree with you that he would have lost some of his audience, whereas going the way that he did, which, again, I would term as safe, for lack of a better term, he maintained that audience, and then mm-hmm. perhaps they would continue listening to the further messages.
Yeah, I don't know if the terms, I understand what you're trying to say, the word safe, but I think just, and certainly I'm not in the Pope's category, but what I'm saying is as a speaker, I know you have to always consider the audience and try to get an idea of where people are coming from, and that is such a diverse situation. So I think that's what he was trying to accomplish. But we have almost full lines. So we have to move on. Appreciate your call. Deborah Maria calling from Ohio on line one this morning. What's your question or your comment for John Paul Shimek this morning?
I was hearing about people saying that Pope Francis wasn't very direct with the hot button issues. And if they were paying attention to the circular media, I think they should take a look at how EWTN explains things.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. We appreciate that. And that's what we're doing this morning. John Paul?
You know, one of the things that stood out in my mind was how he spoke of themes in a new way. I'll give two examples. When he spoke and when he engaged beyond words, also in action, the theme, for example, of the crisis of sexual abuse in the church, he broadened and restructured that theme by, for example, including in his visit not only those abused by clergy, but also others. And he spoke to the bishops in a very direct way, saying that he will hold all persons responsible to accountability. When he spoke, for example, on the life issues, again, I think we saw this kind of restructuring or broadening, so that for him, he wasn't just saying that to be pro-life is to be anti-abortion, but he was saying being anti-abortion is part of a much larger and wider approach.
Right, but the concern,
pro-life.
John Paul, is that when you hear that, a lot of people, and especially the people who vote a certain way, think everything is equal, and they're not equal in church teaching.
Correct.
And to address the concerns of others, that we've had this for years in the United States with elections where people sit there and say, well, you know, you've got the death penalty and you've got abortion. Well, the church doesn't look at those as the same. I mean, there's a
that's
big
right.
difference. And
that's
so
right.
that's where the concern comes in.
That's correct. Those issues are different, but I think all of them are part of a bold, robust, and fresh, if you will, approach to the defense of the culture of life and the civilization of love.
Sure they are, but it takes a mature level of faith to understand and to when you're going to vote and you're going to support in certain things, to be able to think with a truly Catholic mind. I don't have to tell you this, you're a theologian, and to understand that. And I think what people are, and I think he was very strong in certain addresses that he gave, but I can understand the concerns that people have, because what we've been fighting in this country, as you know, is the people who say, well, abortion is equal to, you know, serving the poor and all these other things, and it's not. The life issues are paramount, and the
teachings
are very clear on that. Let's take one more phone call. We have about 3 minutes left. Kathy from Massachusetts, I know this is what you were concerned about, correct?
Yes, that is what I was concerned about. I'm afraid that by not aiming and naming the evil, excuse me, for what it is, that you're more or less not helping the situation for people who are out there on the front lines trying to fight these evils. And it's not as if we hear this a lot in this country from the pulpit or from our leaders in the church, unfortunately. So by not having the leader of the Catholic Church help us out in this situation by naming the evil, it makes it harder for people who are on the front lines trying to fight it, because now we have to try to defend why the Pope himself is not calling out the evil of abortion by name.
All right, John, comments? John Paul?
Sure. No, I think that's very valid. I would just point to the fact that he did at various points talk about defending the rights of all life at each and every level and stage of development. So that was part of the message. It wasn't like he left that part back in Rome, you know, and bought another part. But another thing, too, is I think there was a refreshing of our presentation of the gospel of life, which maybe, in my hope, and we'll see maybe how this unfolds as time goes forward, maybe that helps to give gain us a hearing in the secular world, to give us a kind of facelift, if you will.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, and I think that's what Father John was addressing yesterday, but I also think that, you know, there are concerns, but I think we understand that the Pope is really trying to reach out and to bring people in a world, again, that is so, so, so anti-Christian, and it's a post-Christian culture that we're living in. John Paul, great to speak with you. Safe travels to Rome, and make sure you connect with us when you get there regarding the Synod. John Paul Shimmick, theologian, writer, and commentator. Up next, Lewis Brown on healthcare and the world meaning of families. We'll be right back.
This Ave Maria radio program is underwritten in part by Visiting Angels. Many people are wondering how they can care for older family members who cannot fully care for themselves. Visiting Angels provides compassionate home visits even up to 24 hours per day, and you may select your caregiver. Visiting Angels assist adults nationwide to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide help in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Visiting Angels is online at visitingangels.com. Visiting Angels, America's choice in home care.
Republicans, Democrats, no matter which political party is in office, there are always investment opportunities to be found. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds won't compromise the moral beliefs of its investors. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. The portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and moral values. Call toll-free 866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com.
Schwartz Investment Counsel, Inc., a registered investment advisor established in 1980, serves as an investment advisor. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. To obtain performance through the most recent month-end and a prospectus, which includes objectives, risks, fees, expenses, and other information that you should read and consider carefully before investing, the number is 1-866-AVE-MARIA or at AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Underwriting by Ignatius Press.
Formed is a faith formation tool for parishes that connects Catholics with the best teaching video, audio, and e-books available. It features some of the most compelling and trustworthy voices of the church today, bringing their insights and wisdom to you wherever you are, at home or on the go. Formed includes Symbolon, Beloved, the Catholicism series, and more. Visit formed.org to learn how to bring it to your parish.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Continue our discussion on the Holy Father's visit, the impact, where we go from here. Taking your calls and your questions and appreciate your comments. 877-573-7825. On the phone with us once again is Lewis Brown, who actually was supposed to be on with us on Friday, but the Secret Service changed all that. Lewis, sorry about that. It was crazy. It was crazy. Yeah. All of a sudden we get this notice that, oh, we're shutting down. And everybody right. had to pack up and get out of there in the exhibit center anyway. The conference went on. But you are with CMF Curo, and your thoughts, because of your involvement over the years with healthcare, of course, the HHS mandate, Obamacare, and all of the above. What are your lasting impressions? What are you taking away from last week?
I thought the Holy Father's visit was just so powerful and just so exceeded my expectations. And what I think he's really calling us to, or one of the things that I think he's calling us to, is definitely one of the implications of his visit, is just greater community and greater human caring, you know, and in the sense that we really have to, part of evangelization, part of living the gospel message, he talked about this notion of accompaniment. We as Christians, accompanying our brothers and sisters, both within the body of Christ that are faithful, you know, the faithful, as well as people of goodwill who are not necessarily believers, and really walking with them. You know, it's easy to write a check to a charity, and that's wonderful and important. It's very easy to make a, you know, periodic visit to a soup kitchen, but so much of what we're called to now with the new evangelization, and in terms of reflecting the love of God, the mercy of God, is just walking with the people in our community, walking with our families in particular, which is our first obligation, and being that witness in that way. And it's much less dynamic. It's just as dynamic, but it's much less, I think, glamorous. It doesn't have the same kind of luster, but it's just as, if not probably more powerful than you know, kind of heroic acts that everyone can see. But that quiet witness of walking with each other as Christians and even with those that are not Christian, I think, in our daily lives. And that was part of the impact in terms of how that was my main takeaway in terms of the implications of his visit with what we're trying to do with our healthcare ministry of Christians and Catholics coming together to share each other's medical costs and walk with each other and their medical needs, both from a spiritual standpoint and a financial standpoint. And I thought that was very powerful.
What did you think of his visit to the Little Sisters of the Poor? I thought that was pretty incredible.
Yeah, it was really important. I think it was extraordinarily important because, you know, again, it's incredible how Pope Francis has, you know, the Holy Father has changed the narrative and changed the conversation with the church, especially in the United States, but all over the world. But so often people intentionally or unintentionally want to change the context of what he's saying or change the focus, etc. And so it's unmistakable, the message that he was sending, that people, you know, folks should not be required, obligated by the government to violate their conscience. And so,
well, yeah, that was on the plane on the way home, and that was in
a direct
response to so-called same-sex marriage approval of the Supreme Court and, of course, the county clerk in Kentucky who refused to sign the marriage licenses.
That's right. And I think his visit to the Little Sisters of the Poor, you know, was specifically done to show support for their lawsuit against the government, and it's not necessarily about, you know, championing, you know, the president over the nuns or anything like that. But he's championing truth. He's championing the first freedom of religious liberty, and it's extraordinarily important. And I, you know, the thing too is that our conscience, the protection of our conscience in healthcare, is directly connected to our the protection of our conscience and our religious liberty and other facets. So this is a direct link between what's going on with Ms. Davis down in Kentucky, the clerk there, who has faithfully said, "I will not participate," you know, in what I believe to be immoral. There's a direct link between her witness and the witness of the Little Sisters of the Poor, and we can't. I think it's important too, and I think the Holy Father's actions and remarks reflect this. It's important too to not compartmentalize religious liberty. It's all connected. In healthcare, mm-hmm. we lose the battle in healthcare there. That flows over and spills over into our efforts on marriage, you know. And I think another part, Teresa, too, above and beyond all this of the Holy Father's message is, and I was speaking to someone in Philadelphia about this, a wonderful, you know, very distinguished Catholic gentleman from England. He was saying that we can't, you know, part of the message of Pope Francis is we want to, it's so easy to be Isaiah or be John the Baptist all the time, but really first we have to show people the love and mercy of God and not just throw doctrine at them. And Pope Francis kind of said that as well. We have to show them the love and mercy so they understand where the teachings of the church on all, on some of these more earthy matters come out of. And I think that's very important.
I'm looking at the address he gave on Saturday at Independence Hall regarding religious liberty,
sure.
And that was really,
beautiful.
Really strong. And let me just read a couple of lines here. In this place, which is symbolic of the American way, I would like to reflect with you on the right to religious freedom. It is a fundamental right which shapes the way we interact socially and personally with our neighbors, whose religious views often differ from our own. Religious freedom certainly means the right to worship God individually and in community as our conscience dictate, but religious liberty by its nature transcends places of worship and the private sphere of individuals and families. And that, I think, is key, because this is what the Obama administration has been pushing on us. What are you complaining about? You can still go to Mass. You can still
right.
go to your service. But that's what religious freedom means to them. But that's not religious freedom according to our founding fathers and, of course, according to our faith.
That's right, because, you know, it's not the freedom of religion is not freedom. It's not just confined to freedom of worship. It's so much more
mm-hmm.
because we know that our faith, you know, the Holy Spirit wants to come in every single aspect of society, but the Holy Spirit wants to permeate. And so we as Catholics understand that Christ the King wants to be Lord over everything. He should be Lord of everything. And so there's no aspect of society, there's no aspect of the public square that we should try to propose the Lord. And those that would seek to prevent us from doing so are wrong. They're not witnessing to the truth, and they're violating our right to live as God asks us to, as God invites us to. And so it's important for us as Catholics to wake up and recognize it's not just on Sunday that we have our religious liberty, but it's Monday through Saturday as well, and on all of our activities, and to be robust with that, not in a way that is unnecessarily bombastic, but in a way that's convicting, that begins with love, but it's also very, I think it's important for us to be very convicted about that. So
yeah, and I think a lot of Catholics, and you know this too from your work in apologetics, a lot of Catholics don't even realize that, because they don't take their faith beyond Sunday, and that's a big problem.
Yeah, we have to be, you know, I think in all aspects, and this is an aspect of the healthcare ministry that we have, is saying that, you know, inviting the Lord into, if you're a business owner, into the business decisions that you make, inviting the Lord for members of the CMF Curo ministry into the healthcare decisions you make, and how, you know, how does the Lord want you to be the steward of your family's health care? How does the Lord want you to help build up the kingdom of God when we're fighting these threats to religious liberty? How does the Lord want you to be a steward of your own finances? How does the Lord want you to have an impact in your neighbor and your community? And so it's really easy and for us and lazy of us, and I've done this, you know, to just say, well, I went to Mass on Sunday, I said my prayers this morning, I'm good to go. But
mm-hmm.
especially in this time, Pope Francis is telling us, and all the popes have told us, that's not enough. We have to do
but
more.
Then we go back to what he's trying to do, is to introduce Christ to the world and to bring more people
exactly.
in. Because, and I was talking with Father John about this yesterday, if you don't know Christ, all the rules and doctrines and beautiful teachings aren't going to make much sense.
Exactly. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so the vision that I get, Teresa, really is, because sometimes, you know, I think a lot of us have been at times in the last, you know, 2.5 years of Pope Francis' pontificate, we have not understood at times. You know, I think many Catholics have been...
Well, it's been confusing, and we've discussed this on the show before at the Vatican Press
sure.
Office, and last year with the Relatio, that didn't help matters much. There was a lot of confusion, and there are forces in the Vatican which are trying to weaken, you know, or confuse. They can't change church teaching, we know that, but they certainly can, you know, do whatever they can to kind of confuse and make people think that it's this way, just like with Humanae Vitae, right? I mean, that's what happened. It's still the church teaching, but so many people don't follow it because it wasn't taught, and in one corner of the church, a priest would say it's okay. Another corner of the church, a priest would say, no, it's a mortal sin. So there's a lot of confusion out there, so we want clarity, you know what I mean? So that's what we've been looking for, I think, some people.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's right. And I think a lot of us have. I know that I have. But the vision that I'm increasingly getting that, that you know, and I'm sure you've probably thought of something of this nature as well, is that, you know, and I've shared this with some friends, but it's as though there's this large field, right? And mm-hmm. there's kind of the church militant in the field that is preparing the field and cultivating it so that the sheep may come and enjoy, you know, the fruits of the of our labor through the, you know, through the gifts of God. But for some reason, the sheep are, you know, hundreds or thousands of miles away, and they're not responding to the gifts that we're offering within
right.
this field for whatever reason. And it's as though Pope Francis is kind of sitting there within the field and making this, you know, clarion call that for some reason, and I believe through the power of the Holy Spirit, so many of the sheep are hearing and now coming back,
yeah.
or at least
yeah.
considering coming back into the field that we're cultivating. And I think that's very beautiful, and I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I do, and I think Father John did a beautiful job of explaining that yesterday on the program, and he's got some great new videos that he's doing and really talking about this. And I do understand that, and I appreciate it, although sometimes I do also identify with those who are the church militant who are there trying to, you know, keep, we feel like kind of sometimes the older son in the story of the prodigal son, hey, Dad, what's going
right,
on?
Totally.
I've
totally,
been here, I've
yeah.
been doing all the work, I've been feeding the pigs,
right.
I've been doing this, and you don't remember
right.
me. But no, he does, but if I see what he's
right.
doing, and I really believe after really just being glued to the TV this past weekend when I got home from Philadelphia and then pulling up all the talks
sure.
and really praying over what his words and saying that
right.
he is a pope for our time. And I may not always
right.
understand the way he approaches things. I'm not the pope. I have no desire to
right.
be, but, you know, he's not calling me up and asking for advice. But to really try to see what he's doing in bringing people in, and because it's all about really the new evangelization, I think.
Right, right. And I think, too, so much of it, so much of what I think he's calling us to is the affirmative yes. You know, and it's funny, you know, a wonderful person, a wonderful staffer at the USCCB made a joke on Facebook about the irony of the Pope driving around in a Fiat, you know, because the Blessed Mother, of course, gave, you know, her Fiat to our Lord.
And that's cute.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's pretty funny. And so really all that we can give God, we can't give God anything else but our yes. That's all we got. You know, he does the rest. Everything else is a gift, you know, but we have the freedom to give him our yes. And I think, too, the attractiveness, the joy of the gospel is partially us not just being the morality police, but even more so like the Pharisees were, but much more robustly giving that affirmative yes to what the Lord wants us to do and these, you know, different acts of love. And again, it doesn't have to be something that's, you know, worth making a movie about, but just ways of engaging in new ministries, not being afraid to get involved in one's parish that may be dying, but the Lord's calling you there.
Right.
You know, I think the real courage that Mike O'Day and David Wilson had to start up, you know, our ministry and create community in healthcare. All of these things, you look at what's going on with Focus, which, you know, some people would have thought 20 years ago is ridiculous and radical and crazy, but it's growing and it's vibrant. So the more that we can give these affirmative yeses in all aspects of a culture and really allow, you know, the church once again to kind of be the leaven. I was in Spain. I just got back from the El Camino de Santiago that I did for a little under 2 weeks, and
wow.
it was a beautiful pilgrimage. We started in Astorga and ended in Madrid, and I offered up some prayers to the World Meeting of Families and Pope Francis' visit and for the ministry, the members of the ministry, and for their healing and some personal petitions and some other things. And what really dawned on me is there's aspects of Catholic culture in Spain that are so present because it's so intertwined within the history. But there's aspects of Catholic culture that it seems like a relic of the past. And I think part of the challenge of the laity for us is to make the church the center of the public square, to make it the center of the culture.
Yeah, and
as
I think that's what he's trying to get. And Louis, we're out of time, hon, but great talking with you and great conversation and really good food for thought. You can check out Louis's work at cmfcuro.com. Again, cmfcuro.com. We'll be right back to wrap up on a Tuesday and tell you what's coming up tomorrow on a Wednesday. Stay tuned.
Just over 2 years ago, I recorded popular Catholic author Professor Peter Kreff talking about voting as a Catholic.
Objection 4. Catholics are liberals. They've always voted for Democrats. And my reply is, this is true. Catholics are liberals. Democrats used to be liberals. They used to believe in liberty and morality and natural law. They used to really put little people first. They used to like religion. Now they seem to believe in immorality, hate natural law, and use the little people instead of helping them, and they certainly hate and fear religion. I used to call myself a liberal Democrat. I now have to call myself a conservative Republican. I haven't changed my mind on anything.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. The Tea Partiers have made their presence known. The PR people are spinning their tails. Political office holders are figuring out what they'll be doing following the upcoming election. Dr. Kraft addressed how we as Catholic Christians must vote. Listen to Putting On the Mind of Christ this Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I am Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, it is often asked if the Eastern Churches acknowledge things like Lourdes and Fatima. There is a particular way that the Eastern Churches do approach visions and revelations, especially in regard to the Mother of God.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO, Ave Maria Radio.
Come and see us at Old St. Mary's Greek Town for our 12th annual homecoming Sunday, October 4th. Following the noon mass, there will be outdoor refreshments, food, and fellowship. We welcome past and present parishioners and anyone who wants to see this historic downtown church. Whether you visited us before or are just interested in looking for a future parish, it's a great time to meet with parishioners and discover Old St. Mary's. More information is available on our website at oldstmarys.com.
Thanks for joining me on a Tuesday on EWTN Global Catholic Radio. Tomorrow on a Wednesday, Joan Lewis from Rome, looking forward to the Synod, and Dr. Chet Shree from the Augustine Institute, picking up on the Holy Father's comments regarding the importance of marriage prep in the church. Remember, God loves you, so do we. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you on a Wednesday. See ya.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Jesus knew the power of a good story, and his parables teach us lessons that help us love like him. The Parable Project tells the stories Jesus told, using drama, audience participation, and improv to bring home the messages of the gospel. The Parable Project is a drama ministry ready to visit your school, your church, or your organization. To book the Parable Project, please call 313-359-1736. The Parables by the Author of the Universe.
WeatherGuard has been protecting Michigan homes for nearly three decades. But what about the earth, our common home? With the latest innovations in windows and insulation, WeatherGuard is dedicated to products that last well beyond the low standards set by our throwaway culture and are carefully engineered to cut energy costs and reduce the impact we have on our common home. Visit WeatherGuard.com to get a free estimate and learn how you can do your part to reduce energy consumption. We're WeatherGuard, and we're here to protect your home.
I'm Peggy Stanton, and I'm inviting you to join me on Power from the Pews when I interview the people who are engaged in remarkable ministries that are making a real difference in their parishes and the world. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m.